Just past Jack London Square in Oakland, there's a zone along the water that's a little wild. Past the new condos and restaurants, past the wholesale produce warehouses that open for business before dawn, and down the channel from the newly landscaped park at Lake Merritt, there are vacant lots around the water. It's an in-between space. If you walk across an old bridge over the Lake Merritt channel, you'll see tents, part of a long-standing homeless encampment, and you'll see geese, a bigger, more swan-like breed than the Canadian ones all around the lake. But change is coming to this spot. The estuary is being redesigned as a park, and over 3,000 new housing units are being planned for the land nearby. Next Wednesday, that old bridge over the channel will be closed down for reconstruction. Drivers will just take a detour route, but for the people who live there, it's the end of an era, especially for someone known as the Birdman. KALW's Liza Veal went to meet him.
I'm looking for somebody named Birdman.
Here's what I know about the person I'm about to meet. For 13 years, he's cared for a flock of up to 40 geese.
How do I get to that side?
You can't see Birdman's setup from the road. You can see the geese, though. Dozens of them eat grass by the water, and they come when he calls for them.
Thank you very much.
Birdman's given name is Tige.
Birdman.
He hasn't used his last name in decades.
Hi.
He's in his mid-50s, skinny, wearing a red bandana and a newsboy cap.
Can I get in this way?
He's sitting in a chair against an overpass, basically his front yard, overlooking the estuary.
Cool.
He made this a real home, with rugs, a new coat of paint, even a foundation.
Nice to meet you.
He's marked his area with chain-link fencing decorated with little sculptures. And there's a second chair where I take a seat.
So how's it going?
I'm kind of traumatized, actually. I just killed a bird. Jesus Christ. I came here today and his beak was broken. But I never have... Jesus Christ.
So because his beak was broken, you felt like...
He can't eat.
Yeah.
I mean, there wasn't any reason to delay it, you know?
Birdman loves his birds. They are why he's still here after so many years.
What's going on, Baba? Hi, Gulliver. How you doing?
He can mimic their sounds, and they mimic him back. He feeds them and brings them fresh water every day. When he can't be here to do that, he asks someone else to.
They look exactly like toddlers with diapers.
I know. They look much more graceful in the water.
It took years for Birdman to get to know these geese so well. When he first showed up here 13 years ago, there were just a few. But that's not why he came.
It is mostly a tweaker culture.
People do a lot of speed at this encampment. That's what brought him. And back then, the geese...
Well, they were here and they were really obnoxious.
The people from the encampment fed them white bread at night.
And so they've gotten in the habit with these people of coming in the middle of the night and setting up this gigantic shriek-a-thon, you know, with all of them.
Birdman wanted to break the geese's nighttime shrieking habit so that he could get sleep. He'd yell at the tweakers.
Yeah, and I was just like, don't do it, you know, you'll never be free of it, right?
So instead, he'd feed the geese during the day, scavenged rice and produce. And then he noticed they had other problems, like how oil was constantly getting into the water, which the birds would lick off themselves.
They're being poisoned. So I started getting them water.
And he tried to clean the oil off of them.
I did silly things like chase them around with a spray bottle with diluted detergent in it, you know, and trying to spray them because I thought that might help them get it off quicker and stuff.
The birds grew accustomed to him, even returned his affection. Some of them will wrap their necks around his. He became their caretaker, so more and more of them survived. During nesting season, he couldn't bear to see the mothers lose their babies, so he'd defend the eggs from predators, like other birds and possums.
I used to throw rocks at them and, get out of here. No, I was crazy about it.
The birds gradually became his. And after a few years, his neighbors didn't call him Tige anymore. They called him the Birdman.
When you live with animals and you don't exploit them, it's a totally different relationship. I learned a whole bunch. They have tremendous love in them, you know, and they have tremendous love for humans because they have been around us, you know. And so somehow they're expecting us, they're, you know, they give themselves to us, you know. And it's kind of like, oh, shit, you know, when you realize that's actually a kind of love.
Except for a few relationships in his life, Birdman doesn't feel much affinity for humans or the built world. He wasn't forced to live outside. He comes from some money. In upstate New York, his dad was a doctor. Mom didn't work. Both drank a lot. And he was bullied by 6 older siblings. He says as a kid, when he couldn't take it, he'd head for the woods and camp out.
Yeah, because I didn't like society, right? I don't like our civilization, you know? I don't believe in it, if you will, right? And then I was kind of idealistic, you know, like that we should try to like live as if the world is the way you wanted it, right?
As an adult, he tried to do that with other people for a while. He came to the Bay Area and got into partying. He formed a co-op with some friends. They ran an underground techno venue.
It's a more of a wild and free and communal attempt at living.
But after 5 years, he wanted out of the party business.
But I just became disappointed with people's ability to sustain it beyond the party, you know.
So he left what he calls the ego circus and went to nature. He stayed in a hollowed out redwood tree for 2 years in Big Sur, living off the land. Eventually, he came back. He was lonely. But he found that his friendships were different.
All of a sudden, they don't really know if they can trust you in their house.
He had dropped out too far.
I underestimated the rift, you know. I underestimated it. It becomes sort of almost irrevocable decision. It's like, screw you, you know. I like to down out people better.
So he moved under the bridge. He became militant about scavenging his livelihood, surviving without money. And he got heavy into tweaking, trading things he found for drugs.
I mean, it was wonderful. The first couple of years, 5 years or so, 6 years I was here, because I had total freedom. And I'd be up all night playing drums. I'd play drums all night long, you know. And get up at dawn and go dumpstering on your bike, you know.
That's not his lifestyle anymore, though. He gave up the drugs a long time ago, and then 3 years ago, he moved indoors, into a dormitory-style SRO he says is run by a slumlord. He's been walking 40 minutes here to feed the birds.
I mean, I've almost become suicidal about these guys, you know? I can't abandon them, you know? I've been here for 3 years, you know, thinking I should do something else, but this is what means most to me.
But he'll have to abandon them. In a few days, this whole area will be a construction zone. He doesn't know how they'll survive it, but he knows there's not much that he can do about that anymore. After 13 years, they'll have to be on their own. Birdman feels a responsibility to the geese because he says when we domesticated them for food, we bred the migration instinct out of the bird, made it dependent on us.
It doesn't have its own nature anymore, you know? Its nature is to be used by somebody else. So it can't survive on its own, right?
But the birds and the Birdman could survive here, scavenging off this bit of the city. But for both of them, being wild is no longer a choice. In Oakland, I'm Liza Veal for Cross Currents.